Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode of Football Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business, as well as 24/7 support. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/footballramble and simply enter offer code RAMBLE11.
They're going to try and shut us down, but I'll be damned if we're going to let them, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and the Pizza.
True Lips, Heart Desire.
Finished?
Now I've got Will You and I Love You. That's all my love heart's gone, everyone.
Yeah, Pete's having love hearts for dinner. Earlier we were discussing the fact that love hearts had faxed me.
Silence,
for
Jim!
A period of time. Marcus didn't believe it.
And the Luke say?
Just saying.
I've got no opinion on love hearts at all, so all right.
And the Jim say?
Hi.
You boys need to get a bit of decorum.
Why did you
now,
spell
it? Asimir Begovic scored for Stoke City on the weekend. Goalkeeper scoring a goal.
Very early on as well.
Very early on. The fourth fastest Premier League goal.
Four.
What's your favourite goalkeeper goal from the annals of time, Donaldson?
Can I go for one that was almost scored, but if it had been scored, it would have been beautiful.
What's your favourite goalkeeper goal?
Kasper Schmeichel for Northampton Town. He did a bicycle kick.
Hit the bar.
Just outside the area, hit the bar.
Didn't
beautiful.
Go in.
He's going to get to the point where he's just going to answer whatever question he wants.
In a different language that he's made up himself.
Stevie Wonder.
I support Marcus in nipping this in the bud. That's all I'll say.
My answer is Buds. Bud Air, the film. About the dog, play basketball.
It's called Air Bud, isn't it?
Is it? Oh, shit.
Someone's not getting the point.
I never get him anywhere, even when
you
I do it proper.
No, but you do. You have, Peter. Now, what's your answer?
In love, dear one.
Stop this weird, dirty protest.
Wicked.
What are you going for, Pete?
I found another packet. I'm going for that. I don't have another one.
There's a number of...
All right.
Luke.
I'll rescue this.
Leeds keeper. Leeds keeper. He's got an header really late on in a semi-final, I think.
Okay, that'll do. Can't be bothered to research
I
that
I can't
one.
Be bothered to Google that to prove him wrong.
No.
There's
people around the world, just close the window and type into Google Football
Weekly.
Yeah, excellent.
Well, I might do that then.
He's still eating.
Mine is Jimmy Glass.
Yes, of course.
Not the original, because I'm sure a goalkeeper has scored before then, the best. For those who don't know, for the younger listeners among us, Jimmy Glass on loan at Carlisle from Swindon Town. Mm-hmm. One of only three games you play for them. And he scored a goal in injury time, the last day of the season, to keep them in the Football League.
I think it was the last kick of the game as well, wasn't
it? I think it probably was. There was no... It was a massive pitch invasion. Yeah. So there was no... there's no goalkeeper goal to better it. There's never been a goal scored by a goalkeeper that's more important. And the best thing about it was, in the post-match interview, the first thing he said was, I scored a hat-trick in training yesterday.
And for that,
he would always be the original and the best goalkeeper.
I mean, Luke, you have to have the points for that because that's the greatest goal ever scored.
Yeah, Jim,
if you look at the circumstances there.
Let me put this into perspective, Jim. If I don't get the points this week, I will physically walk out of this studio never to return. And maybe that's what you want.
Do I, ladies and gentlemen, do I?
Hashtag yes, hashtag no. Actually, my favourite thing about that goal is all that, but also the fact that it was a goalkeeper goal from a corner, but he didn't head it.
No, it was a volley.
It was a great finish, right into the corner.
Defender's nowhere near him.
And it went, Pete, it went in the goal.
Which was and that is key.
That's crazy 10-goal thriller at the Bernabeu, and all the thrills and spills of Italy's midweek as well.
They're good, these, aren't they?
The scandal and Blatter's Oxford Union appearance.
Oxford Union appearance. We'll be covering that a little bit later on, 2 weeks later.
And tweets. And the Palace succession. They look clueless. They don't want Tony Pulis. If you ask a
extra. Carry on, Marcus.
Jim, what's your answer?
I thought about the Jimmy Glass one, but I figured someone else would have it. And I also thought the one Peter Schmeichel scored for Villa against Everton. That was also a match winner quite late on. But I'm going to go for one that Rene...
No, it wouldn't have been a match winner.
Fairly
would have been an equaliser, surely. He wouldn't send the keeper up.
It was significant.
Yeah, significant goal.
But I'm going to go for one that Rene Higuita scored. Now, I can't find out who he scored it for or against, but it doesn't matter. It's an absolutely incredible free kick.
Okay.
And just when he scores it, like, it's as if whoever they are have won the World Cup. The place
just
erupts.
It was against River Plate in the Copa Libertadores.
Right, yes, of course it was.
The commentator. Did we not cover it before?
We've definitely done this question.
I'm afraid that you have a contender for the points because this is one of my favourite goals.
Shut up, please.
the commentator, there's obviously two commentators because one of them's kind of describing the action, obviously in Spanish. And then just as he just finishes, the other one just goes, as Higuita runs up, René! And you can hear him going. He goes higher, so that the sound of the crowd is fantastic, and all you hear is as he's saying. That is an excellent one. It's in off the bar, top corner.
Speaking of commentators going crazy like that, something we missed a couple of weeks ago was when Roma, who were on that amazing run, obviously during the weekend, but when Michael Bradley scored the winner.
Yeah.
And the commentator just starts going, Lex Luthor, Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah.
He looks a bit like Lex Luthor. It's so incongruous.
That's great.
Is that what it was for? Is that why he was shouting Lex Luthor?
He looks like him in the TV series, I think.
Jiminy Cricket, that's a leap, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know where it came from.
Paul Robertson, Leeds United, Swindon Town. Yeah.
You've had your time.
I've had me Google.
You've already ruined this podcast.
Yeah. Another great thing about the Rene Higuita one as well is that the technique he takes it with, it looks like he's about to stack it after he takes it, but then he just sort of writes himself again, because it was all planned.
I remember when Brad Friedel scored. I think it was against Charlton for Blackburn, and he scored into equalise in the last minute, and it was fantastic. It was a goalkeeper, and they rescued the ball, and then Charlton went up the other end and scored in the injury time, and it was just so gutting for him. An honourable mention to Peter Schmeichel for a goal he scored, which wasn't actually given. It was for Manchester United. I think it was in the Cup away to Wimbledon.
That was the overhead kick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was quite a spectacular one, but it was offside, unfortunately. Mm.
Can I nominate an honorary mention as well?
Yes,
when I managed to take my goalkeeper out on FIFA 95 and dribble it around the whole team, which was really, really hard, and I only managed to do it once, and I scored, and it crashed the game.
Do you know what?
Bit of a niche one, that, mate. How many people were actually there?
My brother might have been there. Okay. Yeah, probably not.
Could have been a living room full of people.
I didn't know Jim had a brother.
He has, yeah.
Okay. Probably,
yeah.
I thought the Higuita goal you were going to go for, I'm not sure if it is Higuita, but there is a clip, and it's on one of those 90s football videos.
Presented by Bob Mills.
Or Danny Baker or Nick Hancock.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper runs out, and it is quite FIFA-esque. Does the whole team and smashes it in the corner. And I mean, I want to think it's Higuita, but...
Could be Senny, but he's normally a dead ball man.
But that's the really sad thing.
Could have had Chilavert. He scored a great free kick from inside his own box. Inside his own half.
Yeah. If you look at people like Senny and Chilavert and Campos and Higuita, they're very much a dying breed, these goal-scoring goalkeepers.
In Europe,
for
maybe.
A very good reason.
Yeah, but I don't know. Are there any sort of
because
pretenders to the
throne? Because that's not what they're for.
I know! But there should be these mavericks around.
They've got better people for that.
Yeah, that's true. I want him to stay. Luke's got the point.
Yeah.
But it was a very strong contender.
Pete's especially.
I'm still not even sure what Pete's answer was.
No.
Well, let's...
James Richardson.
Let's quickly move on to the Premier League, where we had the first Welsh derby in the top flight ever.
I enjoyed that match, verily.
Right, Pete, redeem yourself.
Dean Saunders said before the game, this is the biggest match ever.
Who said that?
He said, Dean Saunders said, including the internationals, this is the biggest game ever.
Did I say that?
Dean Saunders.
I was going to say that. Pete said that. No, I don't remember saying that. I say a lot of things. It was fabulous. Just like from the very first minute, I mean, it wasn't a high-scoring match by any stretch of the imagination.
1-0.
Obviously. But I just like the passion from Craig Bellamy. He was all over the place, sliding, tackling, left, right and centre. Michu's volley in the first 5 minutes or something, where he took it beautifully and then just fell to pieces, just ballooned it over the bar. It was terrible.
The ridicule that he got from the Cardiff fans for that as well was playground. It was brilliant. It was as if someone had leant over behind him and then someone else had pushed him over then and then the whole playground had gone,
Which could have happened after he went off, you don't know. The first 5 or 10 minutes, the whistling when Swans were on the ball was so loud. It was like watching a some sort of Belgrade derby or something, like Eastern European.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
It was amazing.
Gary Medel had a good game, didn't he?
He's been very good. He's not been booked once this season yet.
He's tried.
He got sent off. I think he got sent off 8 times for Sevilla in 2.5 seasons or something.
Well, we're only 10 games in.
That's true, yeah.
He's saving up a big one.
He looks like he's got a bit of a fat face, but I don't think he's just got a barrel chest.
Beefy, I think we could say.
He's one of the last people on earth I would call fat.
It was a good affair. Corker with the only goal of the game used to play.
Climbing a bit?
Slightly. He obviously played for Swansea before. Yeah. I'm glad he celebrated.
Yeah, I am too. Mm.
Imagine if he hadn't then.
Yeah, that would have been horrible.
But he didn't celebrate that much.
Because he was mobbed. Done, didn't he?
No, I think you're wrong. I think he was quite reticent with his celebration.
Oh, I don't.
And I think he even referenced it in the post-match interview.
Did he?
He knew Craig Bellamy was going to run at him because he got the assist.
Well, that's a shame then.
He ran off in joyous celebration.
He sort of. I'll tell you what. I mean, I've not got to hand obviously, but I think from memory he started to celebrate and then he sort of caught himself and stopped.
And then the rest of the Cardiff players used his limbs as you know, made him like a puppet to force him to celebrate.
Yeah, it could be that. But he did reference it in the post-match interview. He said it was a goal for the Bluebirds, blah, blah, blah.
Redbirds.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That was, tan that, birds.
That'll get you in trouble.
Yeah.
Malky Mackay was actually quite...
that's right.
Not controversial, but quite sort of like thinly veiled in his post-match comments, wasn't
he? Yeah, he mentioned his former assistant who obviously lost, or scout that lost his job.
The dignity Mackay has shown is incredible, isn't it, in the face of such adversity.
But hasn't that lad been... He's not allowed to work.
No, he's not got a permit. Yeah.
It's crazy
play. There was even a... if you think about it, given that they've been promoted to the Premier League, and fair play to the Cardiff fans, there was even like a tan-out banner, wasn't there? at the ground? And it was like, well, they're in the Premier League. And so I respect that the fans see beyond all that stuff and actually not sell out to that sort of Premier League football type thing and say, actually, the club's more important than that. Mm.
Yeah, well, they've always had a great support, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not like...
And PR-wise, changing the shirt to red... They're never going to be
absolutely disaster.
A bit of an own goal.
This is all very well, but it's not the best thing that happened in the game, is it? Outfield player going in goal.
Made a save
immediately.
Tipped it over. But I was a little bit disappointed that they didn't go for the jugular, Cardiff.
Yeah.
A little bit disappointing.
Well, Vaughan was sent off after fouling Campbell. That's
very late on, though, isn't it?
They had 5 minutes injury time and plus the sending off time.
Mm. Well, from the result of free kick, you know he's going to have a pop.
Yep.
He's definitely going to have a pop at that. Definitely.
He's on target.
And when you see an outfield goalkeeper, outfield player going in goal making a save, you automatically are put in mind of how good goalkeepers are.
Yeah, that's right.
It never looks natural, does it? No. He sort of pushed it over the bar and it didn't really look like he sort of knew much about what he was doing.
It was like he was a British school child shooting a basketball.
If he immediately after he had shouted, "Oh, that shit's spicy," it would have been brilliant, but it did look like it was too hot to handle.
Did he do the textbook, because he put it behind for a corner, did he do the textbook straight away? Right, mark up!
Yeah, he should have done posts.
Yeah.
Because it rang hell, of course, he went in goal.
Yeah.
Brilliant win for Cardiff there. Swansea not doing too well.
Well, they've gone above Swansea in the table, and you've got to think about Swansea competing on a number of different fronts. It could be difficult for them, you know. They're right down there now. What are they, like 13th or something? They're not many points off relegation. I know it's early stages. I think they're 2 or 3 points off relegation.
Yeah,
now,
but still, though.
Yeah,
worrying times. Not worrying times at the top of the table for Arsenal, Jim.
No.
They played Liverpool. They beat them.
We did. Yeah,
but we still don't know if they're title contenders, Jim. Do we?
Well, no.
They're 5 points.
I want to urge caution because I'm terrified.
There was a bloke on 606 last night. I went out for a run last night. I listened to 606. And there was a genuinely guy rung in. I think he might have been a Man United fan, and said, "Arsenal are not a consideration."
No.
And
how can they be?
The presenter was going, "They're 5 points clear at the top of the..." No, not having it.
But I love that.
I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
This can't be happening. Yeah. This is a dream.
What I love is that people say, well, until they've played Manchester United or Manchester City or Chelsea, then Liverpool would have been in that list.
Of course, the points are worth more against
those teams. Jim.
And before that, people were saying, they've only beaten Tottenham at home. That's a North London derby. Tottenham are a good team.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and if they beat Manchester United next weekend, people will be saying, well, I mean, it's Moyes in charge, not Sir Alex Ferguson.
Ferguson.
Yeah. You know, you'll just...
Any excuse.
But no, that's great for Arsenal. You know, yeah, Arsenal thrive on being the underdogs.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's good for them to be...
The underdogs, bloody hell.
Well, you know, underdogs in that,
with
in
Ozil.
That context.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Hey, look, it's us underdogs ridden by Ozil.
Yeah, yeah, but there are men phoning into 606 and they're not even a consideration.
They're
with
not
or
grown
without.
Men, are they? They're idiots. who rings in a phone in anyway? Who rings a phone in?
I'm complaining.
Who has love hearts for dinner, Pete? Yeah.
That's a good point. Never rung a phone in, though, have I?
You presented a few in your time.
You can never key in the number right. Yeah. It was a great... I mean, Liverpool, slightly wasteful on another day. They would have probably scored.
It was hilarious, the sort of little row between Suarez and Sturridge at the end when Suarez really should have laid it off to Sturridge. He almost certainly would have scored. But, I mean, that's interesting for a lot of clubs watching that, thinking, oh, they can get a bit touchy with each other. Maybe that's something clubs are going to hone in on now, try and cut off the service.
I agree with what Ian Wright said about it. He said that... it's fair enough for a striker to be annoyed with another striker, you know, but Daniel Sturridge's sort of complaints, if you like, sort of remonstrations went on way too long.
Yeah, they did.
To the point of where he was like looking around the crowd, yeah. Like, look at this guy sort of thing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Ian Wright actually said something quite interesting. He said when he was in his best partnership of his career with Mark Bright, he said the rule was, because we're both strikers, we're both single-minded, the rule was, if you had a shot and it was on target, then the other person wasn't allowed to complain. But if you couldn't get it on target and you had a pass on, you got an absolute bollocking.
Yeah.
And he said, but it never went on for that long. And Sturridge, I like Sturridge. I think he's a great player. I've sung his praises for a long time, but he's got to be careful because, you know...
I would suggest that it was Sturridge was frustrated. And I actually thought that Suarez was within his right to have a go. He only just put it past the post and he's an extremely rich vein of form. And he is a better player than Sturridge, lest we forget.
You can't out-sulk a South American, in my opinion. Yeah,
as well. But I think Sturridge, as you say, Luke, it went on too long and he's just good to watch it there.
Well, I think a little bit before that, Sturridge had teed himself up for a shot that Suarez then nipped in and took, which went out off the post. So I don't know, maybe that started it.
But, I know. I mean, I've heard that off they get on fire and stuff like that.
I think it was one of
those things where it was a difficult game. They weren't having everything their own way, which they were used to having last week and maybe in a few weeks before that, where they've been both scoring a lot of goals and both doing well. Mm. And you come up against a good team away from home and you get beat, and you get beat quite convincingly, it can get frustrating.
Wait, and you shouldn't be satisfied with that, to be fair.
No, of course.
So from an Arsenal point of view, very good to see Santi Cazorla get a goal. You know, he's only been back for a few games and it took him a while to kind of get into form, but he seems to be finding it a little bit now. Ramsey's goal was a beaut again.
Jim, why is Ramsey having such a good season?
Well, he's had a pre-season behind him where he's, you know, managed to get, you know, a proper pre-season. And he's clearly very much over his injury. He had the fans on his back for a little while, but he's had some time to kind of find his form again in his favoured position. And there was kind of an inkling of this at the end of last season. He started popping up with a few more goals, so had a lot of very good performances. And I mean, the amount he's improved in such a short time has been absolutely stellar. So I don't know what the sort of full explanation is, but I would imagine it's a combination of those things. And it's good that Ramsey's getting all these plaudits because it kind of takes the pressure off of Ozil a little bit coming in, and you know, with the weight of expectation that was on him, the burden of goals and assists has been spread across the whole team very well, which is great. And
I was just going to say the other thing that people should bear in mind if they're going to write off Arsenal as title contenders, I mean, not write them off, but sort of doubt them, is that really, personnel-wise, it's very unlikely to get worse than this for Arsenal. They've got 9 injuries at the moment. There's a lot of key players out. In a way, it's helped them because it's meant that they've not had to pick players like Walcott, who's a bit inconsistent, and Oxlade-Chamberlain, who's inexperienced. They've almost stumbled upon a great team just because through necessity, really.
Yeah.
But if they go to Old Trafford next weekend and win, with 9 or injuries, whatever they've got, I mean, a couple of their players might be back. I think Gibbs will still be out and stuff like that. He went off injured, didn't he? And Wilshere's out, and Nabry and Flamini and Walcott and Podolski and Diaby.
Flamini and Walcott could be back for Old Trafford, apparently.
If they go there and win, you've got to rate them. You've got to rate them.
Yeah, but they've not played Chelsea yet. Not played Chelsea. Until they win the league, they cannot be...
And even then, Jim won't be fully convinced.
No.
Neither will Alan Shearer.
It's a dream.
Yeah.
It's worth pointing out, actually, I've mentioned before that Ozil only seems to score when I'm at the game, and I wasn't there, and again, he didn't score. So,
it's nothing to do with
no,
that.
No, it is. Mm. It clearly is. Now, listeners of the Tuesday Club podcast will know that I went to the game because Tayo lent me his season ticket, and they're actually having a dig at me on there, saying I was an interloper. Stealing their ideas, and it's true. So listen to that later. I've got some of their jokes and all the answers from QI. So there you go. Ha! Mugged.
Again, a good win for Arsenal. Peter.
Hello.
Peter.
I'm still here.
A Newcastle title contender because they beat Chelsea.
They beat the Chelsea and they have faced Chelsea and Liverpool and got 4 points out of it. So.
Exactly. So you're in there.
Yeah.
Frustrated and saddened and angered Jose Mourinho, Newcastle United.
I thought Chelsea were terrible.
They won 2-0. But, I mean, Newcastle were unlucky against Manchester City in the Capital One Cup.
Yeah. Yes.
So there's a nice little bit of form that they are experiencing at the moment. So it was a great win for Pardew's men, surely.
Yeah, they played really, really well. I'm really, really, really pleased with how adventurous they were second half. Again, you know, first half they were just taking pot shots. But they put Chelsea under pressure and kind of broke with pace. And yeah, it was a really enjoyable match.
They were great in the second half.
Yeah, fantastic.
Mourinho made 11 mistakes, he said.
that's incredible, isn't it? What a brilliant bit of criticism.
Hanging your friends out
at the same
dry.
Time, not kind of singling out any one individual. It's brilliant.
Do you think Mourinho, there's a few times this season where he's having a dig at his players. Normally he, as we all know, creates that siege mentality and takes the brunt of the media. He's just putting it on.
Maybe he just doesn't like these guys. They're not his players. They're not the team he built.
He's making an inter-team siege.
Matter played, didn't he? That's not going to be
What do you reckon, Luke?
Well, I reckon that game, there was just too many. I saw the game and there were too many poor individual performances. Mm. You cannot... I mean, Newcastle, top half team. They get a lot of bad press, but they're not a bad team. Mm.
They're inconsistent.
Yeah, they're inconsistent.
That's the main problem. So when they're on the game, they're quite a force.
But if you go to St. James's Park, and you have players like Mata, Lampard, Torres, you know, half their team essentially not performing. They were just poor in so many different areas. And then if you take into the fact that they scored a goal from a set piece, which can always happen for any team. So that's one thing. The second thing is Loic Remy, who's in a rich fan of form. He's got 6-6. He never gives you a moment's rest. He's not as good as Drogba, but he puts me in mind of Drogba. He's very physical. He'll run the channels. He'll drag you all over the place. And when he pulled off and scored that second goal with a minute to go, it's so easy for him. He just pulled off. The player didn't follow him, smashing it off the post. Great finish. But when you've got, the most important point is, when you've got that many individual performers playing at such a level below what they used to be at, they're used to being at, it's not good enough, and it won't be good enough. And given that, you know, you look at Mata, he was ineffective. You know, I mean, and maybe you could argue that Mourinho's caused that problem and caused him to doubt his confidence, and because he's been their best player the last couple of seasons, for my money. Mm.
In the words of Newcastle United fans to David Luiz, you're just a shit Colaccini.
That's great.
Which you could hear it on the telly.
Well, big Mikey Williamson at the back is excellent.
He isn't always.
He was great, though. I thought he was excellent.
But he was when it mattered.
And it's so frustrating for Chelsea fans to watch Torres, I must imagine, because he puts in that performance against City where he looks right back to his best, and he's just listless against Newcastle, trying way too hard, making the wrong decision, eventually gets dragged off after an hour, and you cannot afford to do that against a team away from home, especially a team like Newcastle when they're on form, because they'll do you damage.
Sign Loic Remy up. Sign Cholami Obi up.
Yeah.
Gouffran seems to have worked out the offside rule. Yeah. Nailed it this week.
It's a great header, but there's no one around him.
Did you see Sissoko managed to header a ball out from the corner? Without even
looking. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it was
incredible.
Amazing.
He didn't look up for anything. He just knew exactly where it was and then knew exactly what time to jump up.
It was the best header since the Chicharito back header.
Oh, yeah.
Which I really enjoyed.
That was very good.
I enjoyed, what's his name, Joe Kinnear signing Mike Ashley or something.
Yeah, that's it. It was the lad who's on loan at Birmingham.
Story that's been floating around for the last 2 years.
I don't think that happened. And if it did happen, it's a very old story.
I think it was in September, apparently.
Shane Ferguson, yeah.
That was
That's been blown up out of all proportion, hasn't it? He's probably just said, oh, he's a good player. And he's on loan or whatever. But it's so blown up out of proportion, it's untrue.
I heard he tried signing Lee Clark.
I believe it. It was a good win for Newcastle United. They kept a clean sheet. Manchester City, they also kept a clean sheet. It was a few clean sheets at Premier League. Manchester City got one of them. They also scored 7 past Norwich City. 7 individual goal scorers, proving they've got goals all over that team.
Proving Chris Hughton's out of a job soon.
If I was Malky McCarr, I'd be refreshing that Norwich City homepage every single minute. Get me in there. Get me away from Cardiff. Get me at Norwich.
Joe Hart didn't start.
No.
That was the big
deal. It looks like he won't be starting against CSKA as well.
Pantilimon played. Is that, I mean, Pellegrini said he was giving him a rest. Is it fair enough? First time since April 2010, I think.
Arsene Wenger did this with Wojciech Szczesny last season when he was having a bit of a rough time. He dropped him out for Fabianski for a little while and just to get his head right, and it worked for Szczesny. And it's, you know, when it's a goalkeeper that's going through a very rough patch of form, what can you really do? I mean, this doesn't mean his City career's over, does it? It's unlikely to be a sort of Casillas situation where he never gets back into the team.
He might be going to the World Cup now.
Well, I think he just needs to sort of come out of the firing line for a bit, and I think that's fair enough. I'm surprised that Pellegrini has dropped him, but, you know.
I'll tell you what, if what are you talking about, if Malcolm McCarver, if you were Casillas, you'd be thinking, whoa.
Yeah, well, it's one of those transfer moves that's so obvious that it may just be a matter of time. Yeah, January he's going to come. But the problem Hart's got is, I think I said before, that I don't think Hart's a concentration keeper. I think he's a, if he gets into a situation where he doesn't have to do anything, he can just let his concentration go. The reason he looks much better for England is because he's got loads more to do. and his big concern, really, I mean, it's a long way to the World Cup, but his big concern is that Manchester City have got some winnable games coming. I mean, they're home to CSKA Moscow this week. They'll win that. Mm. Pantelimon will probably look good winning it. They're away to Sunderland, who are terrible, and they're at home to Tottenham after that, who don't score. So, I mean, you know, they could not consider going on those next three games. Mm. And so then where does that leave Joe Hart? I mean, you can't realistically, I understand why he's dropped him, but you can't realistically drop Pantelimon for no reason.
I'd be surprised if things went that simply.
Well, I don't think, I mean, as far as I'm concerned now, Pantelimon, you can't just drop a keeper for one or two games if you're going to do that, because you'll just affect his confidence more. He needs to build himself up again. It could take some time. And I don't actually think Pantelimon's that good. I think there's a reason, and I think I said this last week, there's a reason that he's never played a league game before this weekend for City. You know, I don't think he's all that at all. And he could find his technique under a lot of scrutiny if he plays Spurs, because although they don't score, they'll have a lot of the ball.
I've heard that that Johar's trying to organise a friendly with those 100 children.
Yeah.
He'll have more to do.
Do you think he'll start doing like sort of really out of order practical jokes on Pantelimon to stop him being able to play?
I think he was trying to get a friendly with 100 pigs. That's a little reference to what Luke said before.
100 pigs.
Oh, the 100 pigs, yeah. Right, okay, yeah.
I don't listen. I mean, it is an easy one for Pantelimon to go into a home game against Norwich, suppose, you know, 7-0.
Yeah.
But it will be very interesting to see over the next few weeks, because if he makes a couple of mistakes. But you're right, Luke, it's not just a case of chuck him in for a couple of games and then we'll whip him out and put Hart in.
He's not gonna be more confident for being dropped by one or two games when his number two or his colleague, or I suppose rival for the position, is keeping clean sheets.
Is it more that it's just a reminder to him that he has to fight for his place? Like, perhaps he's become complacent and needs this kick up the arse.
But I think he literally does have to fight for his place.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
Because Pantelimon's
not
conceding.
Is this not Pellegrini's way of making that happen?
Maybe not, yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I don't see Man City struggling over the next few games they've got. And so it's not going to be harder for Hart to get back in, you know.
Clean sheet for Pantelimon. Mm.
Especially when they're not getting free kicks like that. Goodness.
Well, exactly, yeah.
Clean sheet for Hull City Tigers, though. Against Sunderland 1-0. Two sendings off for Sunderland.
Sunderland just, you know, doing everything they can to remind us that it wasn't just Di Canio that made them ridiculous.
That Dossena challenge was one of the worst.
Oh, that's horrendous. Yeah. Absolutely horrendous. I mean, clearly a red card, but
Catamol didn't even look for the card, did he? No. He just knew straight
Lee
away.
Catamol was
this is what I do.
Eighth sending off, 25 years old.
My goodness.
Vinny Jones-esque.
It was a sending off, wasn't it, for Catamol?
He threw himself in. He wasn't in control, I don't think. I mean, people say it's a little bit harsh for maybe his reputation and stuff, but his reputation is deserved.
But that's the thing. When someone says,
bestowed upon him.
Well, absolutely. When someone says, oh, the player's reputation's... don't have the reputation.
Stop
there.
Doing it!
But it's true, though. If Catamol goes in like that, then you think, oh, well, he's probably going to hurt him. Or, oh, it's Catamol again. So you're more likely to give a red card. Well, if it's a player, I don't know, Michael Carrick does that or something, you probably think, oh, that was a bit uncharacteristic. Like,
if I was a Sunderland fan or you know, obviously Gus Poyet, I'd be annoyed. It's so frustrating for someone like Catamol, because he seems to lord, seems to sort of really revel in this reputation he's got, playing in the middle of the park and being a bit of a tough man, putting himself about. And there are ways of putting yourself about. You know what I mean? There are ways of doing that. It's so irresponsible. I remember it really put me in mind of when West Ham played Millwall a year or two ago. We were talking about Kevin Nolan being club captain and saying, you know, what's the captain going to be saying to his teammates before this game? Look, play the game, don't play the occasion. Get sent off after 6 minutes. You know, it's so frustrating. You're supposed to be an experienced player. Catamol's 25 years old. He's been around that team for a while. Been around the top level for a while. And it's so irresponsible to do that.
Yeah.
And then 3 or 4 minutes later, just before half-time, Dossena does that. That was a coward's tackle as well, as Alan Shearer rightly said. It was an absolute coward's tackle. I'd be so annoyed about me. They're in the bottom of the table as it is. They're going to lose those players for games now.
Yeah.
And it's so immensely frustrating for them.
Yeah. And Hull, another great win for Hull. I mean, they're 10th, 6 points off a Champions League space.
I don't think they'll be looking up, mate. They'll be looking down.
Well, you saw, I don't know.
But fair play to them, mate. You know
Steve
what I mean?
Bruce yeah. always looks up, doesn't he, Peter?
They're such a different...
It's his fat neck.
such a different animal from the last time they were in the Premier League.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. Before we leave these shores, we've got to mention the Republic of Ireland. Martin O'Neill reportedly about to become the new manager.
Ireland isn't in Britain. So we're still leaving these shores.
Yeah. Well, yes, of course.
Pointing
out. Yeah, well, sorry, I meant abroad. I don't consider Ireland abroad, sorry. O'Neill in charge of the Republic?
With Roy Keane as his number two, can this be happening?
I love it. I
think is this it. A reality show?
It should like, only
is
it, be
this going to be revealed later? This is a, some sort of being Liverpool-style fly-in-the-wall thing.
He should only be allowed the job. He should only be allowed the job if Roy Keane takes it as well.
That's an excellent point. They are both Cloughites, as Pete says. Very interesting. Before we do go into other parts of the world. We have to say, Luke and I were at the Nordoff Robbins charity event last week. Big thanks to Football Manager for
inviting us along.
Did they invite you, Pete?
Say again?
You two were both invited. You didn't want to go.
I wondered if Pete, you know, a bit bitter about the whole voiceover thing still.
I'm not actually bitter. I've got loads of voiceover jobs. Luke just takes the piss out of me.
But bringing it back to the charity event, it was a fantastic occasion. It was their football extravaganza.
Was Richard Keys there, Marcus?
Hang on a minute.
What a fantastic occasion.
He's a proper presenter. Gets proper work.
Nordoff Robbins deal a lot with people with neurological injuries and problems. So it's a very worthwhile course. And they hire out the Grosvenor in London, big old posh place out Park Lane, get all lots of football illuminati and us
like
along.
Yeah.
And so it was great to be there.
Can I tell you my favourite part?
Go on.
Basically, I'm not sure if I told you to this.
No.
This is absolutely...
I've not heard a single note of what
is this,
went on
is this the most night. Ridiculous part of the evening?
I think it is, yeah, personally.
Yeah, okay.
Right. You boys will love this. Basically, so it's the whole thing is honouring a legend every year, and this year it was Pelé, so they're honouring Pelé.
But it was quite something to be in the same room as
Pelé. Oh, it was Pelé. Great. I felt immensely privileged. He's an inspiring man and all that sort of stuff. But before he actually was awarded at this awards bestowed upon him, right, Richard Keys gets up, and he's presenting the whole thing.
So despite Richard Keys, it was a great event.
Keezy's there, right?
Shreve was there as well. We'll come to him in a minute.
It was funny. And Richard Keys says, and before we present Pelé with this award, we've got this a very special guest, right? He's very close friends with Pelé. A lot of people don't know this, but Pelé's actually the godfather to his children. And he realised that Pelé was going to be in London. He didn't want to miss it, so he travelled all the way here.
When I told him this, I thought, did this happen?
Yeah, he didn't go off and black up or something,
set
did
us
he?
Out, set us out, right? Get
this is true.
A puppet.
And he didn't want to meet it. He didn't want to miss it. He's a very close friend of his. You know, can everyone please put your hands together for a very special man, Pelé's best friend, Mick Hucknall.
What?
Wow.
Mick Hucknall
what
came on
hell?
And started singing a song.
What a fall from the stars. It happened.
If you had given me 1,000 guesses at Pelé's best friend, I would not have got anywhere near.
He said best. He
godfather said, to his children, Marcus.
I know.
I'm standing by.
Well, when he said he's godfather to his children, I thought, does Pelé know this? I tell you what, right? Nobody in the room knew what to do with themselves at that moment.
I went to the bar.
It was absolutely.
People didn't hear the announcement. Is that Alexi Lalas?
Yeah.
Has he shaved his beard off?
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Shreves and Keys. Oh, my goodness. I had some howlers.
You told me a wonderful thing about Keys that you're not going to share.
Yeah, well, Shreves first.
Line him up, barman.
There was the most touching moment of the evening was when a mother of a son who had suffered a neurological injury came out and explained what the charity had done for her son. Genuinely touching.
That's actually very touching.
It really was. The guy guy himself came on and gave a speech as well. And got a standing ovation, and it really, you did really think to yourself, oh, actually, it's all very fun, but this is serious life stuff, you know, and it really was. Yeah. So, and gave,
quite apt for this weekend as well.
Indeed, yes, absolutely. And gave an excellent speech, and off he went, and everyone was like, wow, you know, actually, that makes it even more important that we're all here. Then Jeff Shreves and another chap, who was very good at doing the charity auction, came up. So charity auction time, that's important, let's raise a bit of money. Jeff Shreves.
Was he the hype man?
He was, yeah, he was very good. Yeah. Jeff Shreves comes up and goes, cool, it's a tough act to follow, but I think we can.
Wow.
Straight away, it's like that.
So Partridge, isn't
it? Can't buy class,
can you? There's a guy who's had quite clearly a neurological injury, and there's Shreve's just like, oh, well, you know, I'm sure I'll be able to do that. And then
don't have a neurological injury, and I'm rubbish at my job.
Yeah. And then the moment came when Pele was to come on the stage and be interviewed by Richard Keys. Mm. And the bit, Pele often, he's a religious man, he often talks and says, I thank God for the three World Cups I've won and for the career I've had and all that sort of stuff. And I kid you not. And he was sat, they were about 20 yards away from us.
Yeah, very close. Yeah.
Very close. And Keys puts his hand on Pele's arm. Says, Pele, you often talk about God. To us, you are God. And it's an honour to sit at the right hand of God.
Yeah, he did, honestly.
It's so embarrassing.
I looked at the empty beer bottles on my table and thought, I can't guarantee I won't hit Pele.
Yeah. And I was about two bottles of wine deep, so I had no chance of hitting him.
I'm surprised Pele didn't pick one up.
I couldn't believe it. I was sat next to a French chap who was a good man, and I got talking to him. I said, what did you do? You worked for the Prozone, I think it was. And he said, I used to be the president of Saint-Étienne. And I was like, you used to be the president of the most successful French football club of all time. Yeah. Hi, I'm Marcus from the Football Ramble.
Can I have some money?
Yeah, exactly. But it was great to see Roy Hodgson and Pele. We saw them hug.
I loved, Pele did tell a very good story, actually, which was that when Brazil lost the World Cup final to Uruguay in 1950, it was a massive national disaster.
Oh, yeah.
In America now, they're expected to win. They had all the things printed out that they're already going to win it, and they didn't.
It's in the Ding Windows Hall of Fame.
It is indeed. And Pele's dad was a footballer, but he wasn't that successful. He didn't do an awful lot, according to Pele. And he said one of Pele's earliest memories, he'd have been about nine or something, or one of his very early memories anyway, was that being in the room with all his dad and his dad's family, all the men of the family, and they're all crying. And Pele went up to his dad and said, don't worry, Dad, I'll win you a World Cup.
Did he? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I won him three.
That's right. Yeah, that was great.
I think I said something similar to my dad at World Cup 90. We went out on penalties to West Germany. He's still waiting.
Yeah, I said, Dad, I will get you a beer from the fridge.
Just stop crying, Dad. Please stop crying. Yeah. You don't know what this is doing to me.
Stop crying, Dad. It's been 20 years now.
Just quickly, other notes I made from the evening. Alex McLeish looks a little cheerier in real life. Steve Parrish and Glenn Hoddle do have lovely hair. Yeah. Alan Brazil looks as though he could eat anything put in front of him.
Yeah.
And it was a good laugh.
Not cinnamon.
Trying to find Clive Tilsley at 1:30 in the ballroom dance floor with Lord Ramble. One of those life moments that you just never think
would happen. Clive Tilsley was very drunk.
Oh, he's a good man, Dildo. Yeah. He loves it. Anyway, back to the Ramble. So there you are, Nordhoff Roman Charity event. Marvellous. Yeah. Get yourself down there next
more
year.
More from the society section.
Yeah.
And, I genuinely had no idea he was going to bring this up and put it in the show. It's not the Ramble, though. It's not in there.
I knew it wouldn't get sanctioned.
Better football manager, the new game's very good, so I can stick my size.
You're not doing
nine.
The voiceover anymore.
I think I'd like to do it. I think I'd do it a little bit more professionally than it's a bit good.
Yeah,
Pete's football manager, it's a bit good.
Pete's actually sent him five different versions of the advert of his voiceover. All I'm saying is just listen to it. Just give it a go. It's on the house.
Can we go to La Liga? Yes, we can. Barcelona won the Barcelona derby. They beat Espanyol 1-0. Neymar nutmegged two players.
He did that against Real Madrid in the classic.
He did. It's a little move of his.
He loves a nutmeg assist. Yeah. Brilliant.
I feel sorry for Espanyol. I always feel sorry for Espanyol whenever they play Barcelona. Yeah. If you go to Barcelona and go into one of the club shops.
Yeah. We had a look around, didn't we?
Yeah, Espanyol's got a tiny little section in the corner. I feel really sorry for them.
Yeah. According to WhoScored.com, Lionel Messi has gone 353 minutes without a league goal. The last time we went that long was in April 2011. Wow.
So yeah, he did score rubbish against Milan in the Champions League, though, in between that.
That's a bad stat for Messi, because usually he's breaking football-y glass ceilings everywhere.
Yeah, it's not very often you hear a Leo Messi fact.
That's
not an amazing
not
positive.
He owes $3 million in back taxes.
Yeah, there was that one.
Lionel Messi, bad stat.
In a way, that is a very good effort. Well, that's probably quite a record-breaking effort.
Not Maradona-esque. Let's not compare the two.
Yeah.
Again.
I think Messi would be well within his rights to stand outside the courtroom and go, I doubt anyone else of my age has ever run up a tax bill that high. You're welcome.
That's true. True, actually. He's pretty, very youthful tax evader.
In Madrid, Gareth Bale's he's having a better time of it. They beat Rayo Vallecano 3-2 away. He got a couple of assists.
And they're both excellent as well.
Gareth Bale got a couple of goals in the previous match.
His first assist for the Benzema header against Vallecano was with his right foot, and it was right on the
pinpoint
on
cross,
the button, wasn't it?
Brilliant.
I didn't see this game. Was he looking fitter than usual?
He was. Yeah,
he
wasn't limping around.
He looked really good in the other game.
He'll be fine, Ray.
I don't want to smash the perspective alarm too much, but Rayo Vallecano are well bottom of the league.
They gave him a scare. They were 3-0 down the game.
Yeah, well, they gave away two stupid penalties.
Pepe penalty was absolutely ridiculous.
You've just got to account for that as someone who employs Pepe. Yeah. You know, you're going to have a few of those a season.
But you imagine him sitting in the classroom, like, learning about the basics of football. You're 3-0 up. Multiple choice. What don't you do now? Boot him in the area to give away a really easy penalty.
Yeah, correct.
Just don't attack anyone.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'd have dragged him off immediately if I was a manager. Right, you've done enough. I'm not injured any more damage. Get off. And Marcelo, you're off as well.
Yeah, that was another one, wasn't it?
Yeah, Marcelo's was amazing. Marcelo's was like something like the Matrix. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
It was class. But what about Cristiano Ronaldo? He was deeply offended by Sepp Blatter. It was the other week.
Yo, Blatter's thing was embarrassing.
Jokes.
I thought it was hilarious.
I'm surprised about that.
I don't know why.
The man is an unfunny John Cleese.
Sepp Blatter, he was being disrespectful in a chat.
It was a gag that took really a long time to get out. He wears a lot of hair gel.
Cristiano Ronaldo did get spectacularly offended by that. He said, "This shows clearly the respect and consideration that FIFA has for me, my club, and my country." Not really.
Your country and club had nothing to do with it. That wasn't even mentioned.
This is between you and Sepp.
I love the arrogance of Blatter as far as he's at the Oxford Union, right? So it's a well-known seat of learning. You're probably on thin ice if you're not that intellectual. You've got some of the finest, keenest young minds in the world there. You're speaking in your second language. Do you go for a really Labour joke that could take ages? Yes, you do. Because I am set, and I'll do what I want.
It's incredible, Ronaldo's reaction, though, as Marcus said. It's so over the top. Just properly just throwing his toys out of the front. They both just look like children.
But that's the thing. He always does when it's that
Messi comparison.
He gives it
the publicity, though, doesn't he? You know? But all you need to know, Jim, is the fact that people do actually shout Lionel Messi to him when he's playing, and it annoys him.
Yeah. all he needs to do there is you hear what Sepp just... did he?
Yeah, so what?
When's he ever scored a professional goal?
You know
what I mean? I've scored three in the last minute. You know what I mean? Why get involved? Let's go to Madrid. They won again. 2-0.
I just wanted to say, on the FIFA thing, a slight tangential point, but the UEFA, I'm sure I read this at the weekend, that UEFA published how much it cost for them to put on the Champions League draw a couple months ago, and it's essentially, obviously, they invite everyone over, blah, blah, and they just pull some balls out of a bowl, don't they? That's all it is.
Yes. A bowl.
Total bill, £32 million.
That's
how much
they spent. What are those balls made of?
I'm confused. What?
Those balls are made of parts of different planets.
If you're still undecided if there's not enough wealth and resource to go around the world, just listen to stats like that.
£32 million.
They do invite the great and good, don't they?
£32 million. Keep saying what you want. I'm just going to keep saying £32 million quid.
You don't need to do it like the BBC.
The FA Cup draw on ITV.
Yeah. Right. The game's finished. Have we got the balls yet? Let's do it.
Yeah.
I believe that the people that pull out those balls pay to put it on.
Yeah, I think so.
Just get me on the telly.
£32 million quid, I want Marilyn Monroe there. I want every single amazing dead famous person to have ever lived exhumed, reanimated and put in a chair. £32 million quid, it only goes on for about 3 hours. Which is way too long, by the way.
Yeah, that is true. Anyway, Atletico Madrid, they're just 1 point off Barcelona.
Well, you two would probably be invited if it was.
Serie A, Pete? You want to talk about Serie A?
Again, Pete, you were invited, you had a tantrum. Serie A,
I had a job to do. I had a job to entertain the listeners that happened to listen to my radio show.
To the football manager, Rafa. No, sorry, not that.
Serie A. Torino 1, Roma 1.
It's a shame.
It's all over.
But Torino are excellent.
They can't be considered title contenders.
Garcia out.
Yeah, I'd say so. They're still unbeaten. But yeah, the winning run comes to an end. It's a little bit of a shame, but they're still top. Napoli and Juventus won, so they move 3 points behind the club from Rome.
I think it's fair to say that Napoli for one, and Juventus are having a really good, season.
Yeah, yeah. Fabulous season.
Any other season, they'd be top.
Mm.
You know, they've only lost one game each, I think, and they've drawn one each. That's as well.
They won 9 out of the 11.
Yeah, it's not bad, is
which
it?
Which is
exciting.
Good.
And we've obviously got Milan's late resurgence that they, for some reason, do every season now to factor in.
That's reminding me, actually, something I wanted to say. I read today that, because obviously Milan are having a bit of a terrible time.
Yeah, they lost their home.
Yeah, someone put Allegri up on eBay with this quote. "We're able to offer you a useless coach who doesn't know how to train or motivate his players, who makes absurd substitutions and only ever in the 70th minute, specialises in games against Barcelona early. Only pay now and you'll receive a free Mauro Tassotti." He's on there for €1.
Is that right?
No bids. No bids.
Yeah, you wait to the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Then they'll all come
I'm
in.
Watching it. I'm a watcher. I'm watching it.
Yeah, good lad. Elsewhere, we talked a lot about goalkeepers. There was the centre of the stage in the Premier League. Did you see that the old ex-Parma keeper in that exhibition match at Parma, where Asprilla was playing?
Was this a really old guy?
Yeah, his name is Lamberto Baranga. And he's...
71 years old.
71
is that right?
Years old.
When I saw that, I saw hips.
Yeah. But what? I mean, it's a great save anyway. Doesn't matter how old the keeper is. It is a good save.
Reachable.
He's 71.
He wasn't at full tilt. He wasn't at full stretch. He wasn't one for the cameras, but he could have landed on his feet if he needed to.
I mean this in the nicest possible way. Yeah. He's a much better keeper than anyone in this room. And he's 71.
Yeah, he's flawless, isn't he? do check that out on the internet. What about the Bundesliga? We have to mention that Bayern Munich, I mean, they won again, but they've equaled the Bundesliga record of 36 matches unbeaten. Fabulous.
Mm.
And they're top by point after Dortmund won 6-1. Did you hear or see the Jurgen Klopp interview?
Yeah.
I was doing the rounds.
Well, I am Wenger with high fives.
Yeah. I quite liked him. Because
Wenger is classical music. I prefer heavy metal.
Yeah. Brilliant. He was going on. I thought it was excellent. And he said that he liked to play the sort of the English way, fighting football, not serenity football. Rainy day, heavy pitch, 5-5, everyone is dirty in the face and goes home and cannot play for the next 4 weeks.
That would be quite restrictive in the current model of football.
It's quite remarkable to hear him say such things. This is a guy who got to the Champions League final and could well do it again. I mean, he needs to manage in England by the sound
he
of
also
it.
Said something like the only time he's ever met Alex Ferguson was after the Champions League final last season and he wasn't in quotes in the best mood or whatever, and said, "I'd like to have a drink with him. What does he drink?" And the interviewer said, "Oh, he drinks red wine." And Klopp just went, "I prefer beer." It's not happened. It's not been arranged. Yeah.
And you can have what you want. You don't have to drink what he's drinking.
I'm not the waiter.
Good old Kloppy.
Yeah. I think they all call him Kloppo, don't they? But that's when we were talking about.
Yeah, he's got to come to England. Surely he's already Kloppals. Got a brilliant nickname.
he signed a new contract at Dortmund this week. And I'm sure we said a few weeks ago that the reason some big club chairman or whatever went to go and visit him to watch him do training. And the reason they didn't get him as their new manager, I can't even remember the club now, but it was a big club, is because all the players were calling him Kloppo and the guy didn't like it.
Is that right?
So he was like too matey with his players. Right. Yeah. A bit like a Steve McLaren, but like good.
Yeah. Old McClazza.
I like umbrellas.
Now the Ballon d'Or shortlist has been released into the wild. Who do we fancy? Oh, we'd love Zlatan, wouldn't we?
I think I'd love Zlatan to win it, but I think it should probably be Ribéry.
Yeah, well, Ribéry's one of the favourites, isn't he?
Right, okay, good. Messi would have won 5 in a row otherwise. We might as well just stop it.
What do you reckon, Jim?
I think Ribéry's a good shout. I think it probably is between those two. Maybe Ronaldo, again, purely because Messi getting 4 in a row is... You know, if Messi's the best player, he should win 5 in a row, and he probably is the best player, but, you know, I think the Ballon d'Or might be a bit wary of just undermining itself by constantly giving it to the same man. So, maybe Ronaldo.
Yeah.
I like the idea of Ronaldo having to go to the thing every year knowing he's not going to win it.
Mm. It's
quite funny.
Yeah, just people in the crowd going, Messi... Messi.
The coach of the year shortlist annoyed me because it didn't have Diego Simeone on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
is a bit of a surprise.
I mean, what a story for Ribéry if he wins it as a player. I mean, given his career trajectory when he was just knocking about for playing casually for a while, wasn't he? He worked his way up through the leagues.
Yeah. Is Ben Arthur on there?
Not this time, but there's always next year. Or the year after. Pete, anyone, any names there?
Lewandowski come for a lot of not normally, in fact, to another club. I don't see why he couldn't have been with a shout for it.
Yeah.
Scored a lot of goals.
Anyone on there is worthy.
Now, just before we go to Pete's game, I noticed this little story coming out of India. A secondary school in Western India called Chaldean Syrian Higher Secondary School, celebrated Diego Maradona's 53rd birthday last week, as I'm sure everybody did. The former Indian football captain, C.P. Papachan, inaugurated a specially decorated place in the school where there is a signed shirt from Maradona. They call it Maradona Corner.
Nearly right.
Yeah, well, they've essentially got away with us not suing them for intellectual property rights by calling it Maradona Corner.
Intellectual property rights.
Don't think we're not onto you.
I just like we found a foreign, basically a country that you can pronounce the names of the people and the places in it.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by that.
That's a dig.
India.
That's very harsh. That.
Yeah. You're not very good at the Russians, that's all I'm saying.
I've been there.
Well, then you've got even less of an excuse. I wanted to say something that caught my eye this week. Was something in Chile.
Yes.
It was Guadalajara, Kivas, I think.
Mexico.
Oh, maybe Mexico. Which that sort of part of the world anyway. But the chairman there is not very popular for one reason or another. And you know, you see banners. We were talking about the Vincent Tan out banner earlier in the show.
Yeah.
One of the banners literally just said, "Leave or you die." Which is pretty much as unequivocal as you can get about their feelings, isn't it? I mean, as far as I know, the guy hasn't died, and it would be in terrible taste if it turns out that he has, but I'm pretty sure he hasn't. But that really caught my eye. No mucking about.
A mate of mine went to see Airdrie United once, and they are, some might suggest, the Millwall of Scotland.
Right.
And they were chanting about the chairman, you know, whatever his name was, swing on the bar. And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And they want him, you know,
hanged.
Yeah.
My God.
Horrendous. Absolutely horrendous.
The only way that could be scarier is if they were singing his address.
It's only a game.
Pete.
That's a really good idea.
My God, that's terrible. Are you strangling a cat, Paddy?
No, I'm actually trying to make one of those ads where they get people's attention by using the sound of some really unusual noise.
Well, that makes more sense.
I'm learning the Ghanaian bamboo flute. I think it'll get everyone's attention.
Could you not just tell them about the really good sign-up offer for listeners of the Football Ramble? You know, the one where you open a Paddy Power account, bet a tenner and get a free £20 bet, no strings.
We all know the answer to that one. Go to paddypower.com/ramble.
Pete, your game.
Right, my game. Oh, God, my game. Let me just unlock my phone.
Who's done the work for you this week?
I'm not telling you. I am telling you. It would only be right. This is from a man by the name of Sam Wingrove, who I think may have come up with one before. A little bit concerned that I may have written this out before. Call my Damien Duff. I was born on the 10th of June 1969 in Sandefjord, Norway.
Stop.
Sandefjord.
Stop. Is it Solskjaer?
No.
Stop. Tor-Andre Flo.
No.
Stop. A succession of Danish players, because as we know, I get them mixed up.
I joined my first club, EIK Tonsberg, in 1987, scoring 24 goals in 98 games. Not a bad start.
Stop.
Not John Jensen.
John Carew.
No.
Oh, nice. I was going to say stop Henning Berg, but he's never scored that many goals.
No. After a season with Besiktas, I moved to England for $1.2 million, a record for a Norwegian player in my position.
Stop. Stig Bjarnaby.
No.
Stop. Jana Risa.
No.
Stop.
No, you know who you've gone.
Stop. Fjortoft.
No.
He's not Norwegian, is he?
I scored my first goal in England against Chelsea in the Charity Shield.
Stop. No, it's gone, sorry.
I made 99 appearances for Manchester United.
Yes. Stop. Jesper Blomqvist.
No.
I said Solskjaer. Is it Solskjaer?
No.
We should know this, should we?
After leaving United, I moved to Aston Villa, Newcastle.
Stop. Is it Ronnie Johnson?
Ronnie Johnson.
Well done,
yes,
Jimbo.
It is. Congratulations.
Marvellous. Well done,
chaps. It's the goal scorer that threw me off.
Yeah.
Got 20-odd goals, and I thought I was not a defender then.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Mm. Crazy.
Sam Wingrove.
Let's have some correspondence. Jim, you've got an email there.
I do have an email, yeah. Hi, Marcus, Luke, Jim and Peter.
All of us.
My flatmate Alex and I are about to get a pet cat and we need some name suggestions. We're thinking along the lines of African Premier League heroes, and so far we have Yeboah, Nwankwo, Elokobi and Pantsil. Do you have any other good Premier League legends we can use? If you come up with an amazing one, we promise we'll name it that. Not Brian Penis.
Aruna.
I'm not
getting involved.
That's from Ollie in Leeds.
Ollie, I was with you until that last bit there.
Aruna.
I like Amakachi. It's a great name for
Amakachi. Amakachi, yeah.
Amakachi.
Don't know what it is, isn't it? Pete, you got anything?
Cat Sellers. Scott Sellers.
That's not African.
What?
Yeah. That's not do you have to go for African? Yeah. Sorry, I didn't realise.
Question of the week.
I'm a catchy, there you go.
I almost had to physically wrestle that back. Question of the week. I'm getting a pet cat. No, I'm joking, it's not that. Norwich City were handed a battering at the weekend.
Yep.
Tell us the biggest footballing lesson / defeat you've been handed.
Not all defeats are lessons.
No, that's true, but some of them are. Kevin Q Anderson on Twitter says, I once lost a game 13-1 for my team, and I got a letter a week after congratulating our team on scoring the first goal that team had conceded all season. Arrogance.
Yeah,
that very
incredible
arrogant.
Hubris, isn't it?
Please tell me that team went on to not win the league. I would love that.
Oh, that's fabulous.
I love this one. This is from a guy called Tom on Twitter. He says, my Sunday team, when I was 12, lost every game we ever played. The worst was 23-0 away to Berkhamsted.
Bloody
our hell. Manager disappeared at Christmas and just never reappeared.
Wow. It's a lesson in abandonment. That's horrible.
I absolutely love that. Here's another one. Misel, I think that's pronounced, says, we played against a Nigerian team once in the Norway Cup called Boys of Abuja. Boys, no. They were not. 6-0. Not sure if I touched the ball once. # one of them had a beard. That's a big thing about youth football, isn't it? They all look much older than us.
Boys
are big, you're muscular.
Here's one via the Facebook then. My dad coached our primary school team, and during the semi-final of a five-a-side tournament, he shouted some instructions at my 10-year-old self. I responded, shouting from the far touchline, you tell me to do this, you tell me to do that, make your fucking mind up. The touchline for the parents and teachers looked shocked. He subbed me immediately, we lost 2-1. This taught me that my dad is tactically naive. And that's from Ryan Hunter. I very much enjoyed that one. Dominic Harris says, playing for a team in Northumberland and losing 18-1 on my debut was tough. It was made no better with the 14-0 and 11-1 defeats to follow. I was playing centre-half and I'm not currently playing for a team. No. It's probably for the best, I think, Dominic, if you're honest there. Let me have a look here. This is the best one. I'll finish with this one from Twitter, from Niall Mullally. The referee blew up early when we were 6-0 down and the other team complained. The referee replied in front of us all, just leave it, lads. This lot of shit. I was 10 years old.
That is quality. Well, I can wade in with a little referee outburst as well. We played a team when we hammered them, to be perfectly honest with you. And they were just a group of individuals who quite clearly shouldn't be playing in a competitive team. Just go and have a kickabout with your mates.
Just a bunch of ball hoggers.
Exactly, yeah. But they're arguing this, that and the other. And the ref, they kept shouting at the ref. And the referee was a little tubby bloke who clearly was up for something.
Yeah. And he was a ref.
Yeah. And I'm not joking. They were hounding the ref the whole game. And the referee got so pissed off that he tackled one of their players. And passed it back to our keeper. And they were just absolutely dumbfounded. They were like, what are you doing? And the referee, as he, this is true, I promise you, as he walked off, the keeper cleared it up the pitch and it smacked the ref on the back of the head. Right? So their whole team just went into absolute laughter at the referee. So the referee then, like, picked up the ball as if he was going to go, right, I'm going home. And his lad was like, ref, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And he went, were you born an effing dickhead? Squid
up
to the bloke.
What a terrible bloke.
Dad's breakdown.
Best meltdown I've ever seen on a pitch, and it was by a referee.
Did the team respond to your letter?
No.
I've been in part of a Sunday League game where the referee has headed the ball. And everyone's been like, what are you doing? He's going, sorry, lads, old habits.
Oh, God.
But he basically wanted to let everyone know that he was a player as
that's
well.
That's great.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing?
It's terrible and great at the same time.
Yeah. A ref told me once that it was something I did, went out with a horse and cart.
I think
I think it might be a too far.
All right.
Good.
Did you get sent off, did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
I've never had a yellow.
I got a yellow once.
More of that. Come on.
More of that.
There we go. Right, that's it. There we go. Marvellous. Pete, Absolute Radio.
Yes, Absolute Radio do have live Barclays Premier League commentary from 3 o'clock this very Saturday. Chelsea versus West Brom. 3 o'clock kickoff. Jim Proudfoot in the commentary box. Clark Carlisle as well. Football.
Juicy. Well, that's it from us. If you want to get in touch, the email address is shout@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble and the website is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Peter.
I bid you adieu.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye,
Jim.
Farewell.
And goodbye from me.
This episode of Football Ramble is supported by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website or online portfolio. Squarespace offers free domain names, all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business, as well as 24/7 support. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase, go to squarespace.com/footballramble and simply enter offer code RAMBLE11.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.